Good morning. You're listening to FloridaDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Parr. This morning, my guest is Bill Blackstock, the president and CEO of the RFCI, the Resilient Floor Covering Institute. Bill, how you doing?
Excited, a little tired, I'll be honest with you, but we are wide open. Good morning, Kemp.
Yeah, you had a meeting last week. It was in a really nice place at the Montage Palmetto Bluffs in Bluffton, South Carolina. Let's get to that in just a minute, though. I did want to point out that we just finished our annual report, the May issue, and it's going to be released early next week. Finally, in our statistics for 2024, resilient is the number one category for revenue. It passed carpet after a long run of carpet being the lead. It's ahead of carpet in 2024. So that's a pretty big headline, isn't it?
It sure is. We're very grateful for that. A lot of hard work by the members of the RFCI in making that so, and very proud of them.
Yeah. One more just comment on that. It's going to be interesting to see with the way the tariffs are right now, which is a heavy impact on shipments out of Asia. A large percentage of LVT comes out of Asia. So it'll be interesting to see what the economic equation is and whether that changes, because that could affect the fortunes of that category. Let's go to your meeting. I know you had a large crowd. Probably the biggest crowd you've had, and some great speakers, right?
Kemp, it was unbelievable. It was the largest gathering of executives we've had in RCI's history, and not by a little bit, by a lot. From our standpoint, we're very thankful for that. Every single person who attended had a choice of how they spent their time, and for them to invest in our meeting, we're just very thankful for that. Strength of our organization, as you and I have talked about before, is our members. And we've added quite a few. Just this year alone, we've had 4 new members join us. That brings us to a total of 53 members. We don't have a membership goal. We're delighted when folks come to us and engage on that. Leading up to this meeting, Kemp, you're aware of this because you were in one of these meetings. We have our final face-to-face meetings in our committees pretty much every 2 weeks going up to this meeting. And it allows us to sharpen all of our strategic initiatives. And that peaks when we reach the board meeting, which is on the first day of our spring and our fall meetings. And you've got the 18 companies that comprise the board. It's a very strategic meeting. We get right to the issues. For us, we spend a lot of time on the regulatory front, federal and state level. The tariff issue that you brought up, we have one of the top tariff attorneys who happens to work with our firm in D.C., Venable, who is there in the board meeting with us. We're constantly looking at the latest developments on tariffs and making sure that our membership are aware of those changes that are taking place. We've had tremendous technical initiatives this year, beautiful, responsible, and much more. The board meeting is a 4-hour working session. So then, spoken at our general session before, I have 20 minutes of comments and get out of the way of these incredible speakers and the topics. In short, Matt Saunders of the John Burns Research and Consulting Company had an unbelievable economic overview of the economy, what's out there, what's ahead in 2025 and 2026. Lots of questions on that. Wes Sudeth is the attorney at Venable on the tariff side. He also presented in our general session. The Georgia Ports Authority, Cliff Pyron, has been a major visionary on that front with that core leadership team. We were blessed to have him again. You know Ned Monroe, president and CEO of the Vinyl Institute, quite well. He was there giving the latest update on a number of items associated with vinyl and the initiatives of the VI. There's a new president. His name is Matt Rudolph. He addressed the topic of beyond decarbonization and what's ahead. I think you have had the chance to meet Paul Schihari, founder and chief information officer of Ecomedes. Paul gave a very stirring presentation. You met Allison Foley. Allison is a partner at Venable, and she's definitely a partner of RFCI. She did a deep analysis of the president's first 100 days, way beyond the headlines into what has transpired and the details. And then a fellow named Kevin O'Connor, a host of this old house for some time. He spent a couple of days with us as well. And Kemp, he had many fundamental messages in this presentation. A couple of things that really stood out were the emphasis on the trades, and from the standpoint of the United States, the importance of the trades and where we are and what we need to do there, and the constant need of innovation. When you look at this old house, Kevin's always concentrating on innovation within the market.
Sounds like a really rich, and, you know, I got to tell you, I was a Bob Vila fan. I mean, he's the one started that show, and I actually did a video with Bob Vila. He's one piece of work, and would have been great to have seen that presentation because they're always entertaining. It's one of my Saturday morning things to do. So you've given me headline speakers, but I need to know what they said. I mean, what's the outlook? You said you had this economist talk to us.
Yeah.
Is it all doom and gloom?
No. In short, in 30 seconds or less, there are risks in the economy. We all know what they are. There are more vectors in the water than I've ever seen before. Matt took us through all those in his presentation. Housing affordability, for instance, is that. You're hearing a lot about the U word, uncertainty, right now, and uncertainty is impacting certain decisions in the market. We do believe, these are the words of Matt, that remodeling right now is in a state of deferral as this uncertainty plays out. Uncertainty will clear itself. It's just a matter of when that happens and the factors that cause that to happen. Flooring is an early stage recovery category. He showed charts of the various trades and how economic cycles occurred. And pretty universally, flooring was always an early stage recovery category. And that's exciting. And when you peel the envelope back on that, he said that there are issues that cause things within categories to succeed or not be as successful. Ease of installation because of the lack of people installing the various types of products is an example. Affordability. And from our standpoint, we sure like where resilience sits on that. Even when there are headwinds, even when there are these vectors of uncertainty, a very wise man in my life once told me, it's in the headwinds that you make your money, not the tailwinds. And there are these pockets of opportunity that exist everywhere. Resilience is going to do just fine through all this, but there are pockets out there of excellence where you can move your business model ahead. I hope that answered your question.
Okay. One of the big, huge issues right now with the total flooring category is the lack of turnover in housing. We're not going to see any improvement there until interest rates come down. Did he have any forecast on that?
In my neighborhood right now, there are very few for sale signs that are up. So when that interest rate issue makes its ultimate adjustment, you're going to have the remodeling category move ahead. I believe that starts toward the end of this year and the early part of next year. You and I haven't even talked about commercial. There's some factors there that are positive in 2025 and 2026. I wish I could be a crystal ball and tell you, is it going to be quarter three, quarter four, or quarter one of 2026? There are just too many vectors to do that right now. When that kicks, I still like where resilience sits in the mix. And I do believe resilient will continue to gain market share due to the solutions it brings to the market. I mentioned earlier the ease of installation. That's one thing that the resilient category is really concentrated on. And I'm not talking about DIY there. I think with the lack of installers that are going to be out there, when the economic kick happens, that those products that are the easiest to install are going to be rewarded with market share. I firmly believe that.
Okay, Bill, well, I appreciate you giving us a rundown on your meeting last week. I've been talking to Bill Blackstock, the president and CEO of the RFCI, about his spring meeting, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloridaDaily.net.